What's going on?
well, I was giving you guys the pre-show about the go-kart event. The go-kart event went great. It went really great until somebody got hit by a car, and then it wasn't so great. But if you heard about it, there was a lot of people there, and the news basically was that somebody left the track, left the property on their mini bike, and with their peripheral view being blocked by a helmet, they drove in front of a car and got hit. Nobody died, and that person, I don't want to say his name unless he wants to say his name, but he walked away with a fractured wrist. But that first 10 minutes was probably one of the scariest 10 minutes of my life. It just looked so bad. It did not look good. His mini bike was twisted up in the weeds. And I never endorse anybody to leave the property on an unregistered, uninsured motorcycle to go onto the main road. But he did. He was going to my shop across the street to get a tool. He should have walked like everybody else did, because my other shop across the way is wide open. Everyone's going back and forth, welding stuff, coming back. But if you hear anything, he's okay. He's 100% okay. He fractured his wrist. He didn't even break it all the way through. They caught it on an x-ray. It's just a little crack. And he's got a cast, and he was up and around the next day, and
good.
Everything's good. So he knows who he is, and I'm just, thank God he's okay.
And yeah.
So next year we're going to have stricter rules. I'm going to put a lock on the fence.
Everybody has to wear bubble wrap.
100%. He's going to have to wear bubble wrap. We did enforce the helmet law this year, which is funny because I've been seeing some old clips from previous years. I'm like, why isn't anybody wearing a helmet? But I just, it's like, you know, you learn by, I said this to somebody the other day. It's like, life is like walking through the same room in the dark with a million obstacles. By the time you're 55 years old, you might get to the other side with stubbing your toe only one time or three times versus 50 times. And so we're walking through the room in the dark at the go-kart thing. First year we had fun. Second year we had fun. Third year, fun. Last year somebody tumbled on top of one another, and then we implemented the helmet rule. This year somebody went outside the property and got hit on the public road. So we're going to lock the gate next year and make it explicitly clear. And one thing I wish I had, which is just so stupid, I don't have a bullhorn. So next year I'll have a bullhorn to give some instructions. Or if there's an MC, make sure that person gives instructions, like pull it in, slow down, that type of stuff. Or this next round, just kids. This round, if you want to speed, one person at a time speeding, that type of thing. But all in all, this year we had 40 go-karts and about 100 people.
Oh, wow. Yeah. That's a big event.
Yeah, it was great. It was really great. So many great go-karts. Dave from Atomic, I'll get his name right, Atomic, he made a wooden go-kart out of plans from Popular Mechanics from the 50s or from the 60s.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, he had like the Formula One racing, and Dave from DT Fab made a trike, a drift trike, with a three-speed engine, which he sent me the link. I'm going to buy one of those engines specifically because it has reverse. It's like it's a really cool little engine. Yeah. My paint guy is here. You're going to hear him scraping the ladder. I'll try and keep muted. I'm having the house painted. There's three things going on at the same time. The house is getting painted slowly, little sections at a time. There's 15 strangers down at the barn who I never met, probably touching all my tools. I see the first guy pulls in at 8 this morning as I was petting the cats out in the yard, and he pulls in with like a little Subaru, and it's packed with Milwaukee tools. I'm like, great. There go all my tools. He's like, is this the TV shoot? I'm like, yeah, go down to the barn. So I went down and got him acclimated. And so a few other guys are showing up just as I was starting with you guys. So they're going to turn the place into a TV set today. And then I have my friends nearby who are carpenters building the stairwell in the barn. So there's three things going on.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. So I'll be juggling all day long. But as far as videos, I put out the video for Double H Boots, which is a barbecue, all plasma cut on the CNC plasma. And that video seems to be doing okay. That's cool. That was a fun video. And me and Bernie and Tyler made hot dogs at the end. So you see three people grabbing hot dogs. It's me, Bernie Solo, and his son Tyler.
See, it's got multiple sides. I don't remember how many.
Ten sides.
And they taper down. And then they interlock with like a, almost like a very large finger joint. I'm not sure what that's called.
Yeah, but, like a finger joint.
How many tries did you make out of cardboard to understand that taper. I know in woodworking, those tapers are really hard because there's like a compound cut, but...
I just guessed because I have a little bit of experience with the wooden barrel that I made a few months ago.
Yeah, yeah.
But it was obviously many more staves. I opened up Illustrator. I didn't show any of the Illustrator work because I think people's brains just shut off when they watch it, so I don't show any of that. unless I'm doing a video about that. So in that, yeah. I made a square, and then I made a skinnier square. So I make a square, and I make a skinnier square. And, well, actually, what I do is I make a 10-sided object. You select the hexagon drawer from the toolbar, and then in it, you could... it'll ask you how many sides you want. So I said 10. So off of one of those sides, off of that one arc, I drew a box 12 inches high. And then I drew another box inside of it, just about 1 inch skinnier or 2 inches skinnier on either side, maybe probably 1 inch skinnier. And then I dragged the point at the very bottom over to it from the left and the right. So I made my, is that a trapezoid?
When it's, yes.
Yeah. So I made my upside down trapezoid. And then I just added the finger joints. And I've showed how I do the finger joints. Is I'll make a series of little skinny long boxes, and then I just copy and paste like five or six of them, and I connect them all together, and then I bring them to the top of my shape, and then I drag them all as one object down to the bottom because they'll all stretch equally the same size. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. And then I take that little band of square boxes from one side, and I move them to the other side. I copy and paste both sides, and then I just knock out every other one on this one, knock out every other one on that one, and then I just drag them over each other a little bit so that when I melt them together, they all become one object.
Yeah.
They basically become more compound. Is that a compound path, or is it just melted together? I don't know what that's called. And then...
I don't know. That action right there is something that has always confused me about Illustrator.
Yeah.
It's like taking multiple shapes, and are you joining them? Are you cutting them in and out of each other? Like, what exactly is happening there? Because it actually matters a little bit depending on how you've got them.
Well, I think if it's a hole through, it's a compound path. If it's combined, you're just melting them together. So if it's a hole through, you could always release it later and get it out of there. But if it's connected on the edge, not a hole through, it just becomes a new object. The only way to get back is to obviously undo or command Z if you can still have many left. But before I start melting objects together, I always make a copy of them. So if you see my work table, there's little bits and pieces of all the things I've melted together, like all around the edge, in case I need to go back. I don't have to command Z. I just go grab another one.
One of the things that, this is just my silly brain doing silly brain stuff, is I know a lot of like my former bosses who would make stuff in Illustrator. You have your main artboard, and then outside the artboard would be hundreds of little ideas just kind of spread.
Yeah, that's exactly kind of what I do.
I can't work that way. I have to have, mine has to be clean. So I start with version one, and then I move to version two. It doesn't have all that stuff outside the artboard. I don't know why. It's just something I can't get over.
Well, I do. I have the artboard sketch page, which has those little bits and pieces on it. Then I keep a clean one. So every time a good clean idea comes up, I make a new file for it. So I'll copy and paste it into a new file. So that's how I work. But I do. I'm like a combination of both. So I made my file, and then I laser cut the first one, and I thought the taper was okay. If it was too tapered, if it was too diamond shaped, I would have just opened up those two points at the bottom, gotten rid of all 10 of them except save one, open it up, and then recopy all those ones.
It came out really, really good. I was really impressed with
Thank you.
Just the overall design. And I was like, did he get that on the first try? Because you cut it out of cardboard in the video.
Yeah, yeah. The relationship of the ring to the actual fire pot, I kind of had a little trouble with, because it was hard to calculate all the overlaps and how big the circumference of the 10-sided object would be versus the actual round thing. So I was able to fudge it a little bit by opening up those finger joints and just letting a little bit of air show through them. So you notice, you probably wouldn't notice, maybe you would, but the average person wouldn't notice, I was welding them together on the table, and then I just jumped to them on top of the ring because I get frustrated because I was trying to tack them together so that I could still flex the circle and open and close it. But every time I tacked it, I flexed the circle, it would fall apart. You can't, certain tacks. And it was, I tack it, and then if I needed to close it and it was already bottomed out, I'd have to break the tack. So I just started building it on top of the circle, and I realized I hadn't turned the camera on. So it goes from me making the firebox upside down on the table with the ring nearby, and then I just maybe cross-dissolved to me building it on top of the ring.
Yeah.
Just a small detail.
you mentioned that people like tune out when they start seeing the Illustrator stuff. I think it's really interesting that that happens, because the same thing happens with any software. Like the software you have to use to design a thing on the way to the physical part of it, that's really where a lot of the work is. Like any,
that's where all the decisions are.
3D modeling stuff. Yeah, that's where all the decisions are. That's where all the experimentation is. And it also loses people's attention because it's just like heads down work. Yeah. And it's kind of weird because it seems like that would be the thing that would be the most interesting to people. But, you know, some people like different parts of it, whatever.
No,
but that's always kind of gotten me the same thing. When I go to model something on camera, I'm like, okay, what's a way that I can skip through this quickly, but I still have to do it in real time? And, you know, so
it's funny you mention that. Peter McKinnon put out a video this morning. He put out three videos this morning, but the first one was this. It's like a little mini documentary. He's using a new camera. It's a little mini documentary of this other photographer. And he rents out this abandoned house and he sets up this room for a photo shoot. And the setup takes all day. The actual photo shoot was 60 seconds. He took like two photos, viewed it on the computer, said, "We're done." And Peter was just like, "Wait, what?" You know,
wow.
But all the work is in the setup.
Yeah.
Yep.
I mean, I guess that's kind of like all the stuff we do with video is kind of that way anyway. You know, we'll spend a week or 2 weeks or whatever building a thing, designing and building and shooting and editing and whatever, and then you end up with like a few minutes of final product. So
yeah.
I guess it's the same thing. But anyway, David, what have you been up to?
So I'm working on, it's like a hybrid video of, I'm making a cutting board, but the video is more about how to design if you're not a designer. And it's all about subtracting, removing, getting back to like just work with what you have. And so there's not a lot to say about it, except I'm making an end grain cutting board. It's one of the ones out of the book. And then I turn it into, I do something a little extra special with some CNC inlays at the end with this particular cutting board that relates to the whole story. So that's it. Not really much else to say about it. I'm still working on it.
Yeah, super vague.
It's another cutting board. I think I've gone back and looked through my discography, and there's probably five cutting board videos. I need a sixth cutting board video? Sure.
There's got to be a way to make one that's about like pointing out the joke of the fact that it's like number seven or number eight or whatever, you know. Like,
yeah.
Well, I don't even know what I've been doing. As I was listening to you guys talk about what you did, I don't know what I've done with the last week. Okay. I really can't think of anything.
Well, you put out the crayon candle video, which was really fun.
Oh, thanks. It was 10 out of 10. In a bad way.
Yeah.
If you have any questions about that position in life, just call me. I know a lot about the 10 of 10.
Well, not every video can be 10 out of 10, though, right? Unless
I mean, it can be.
They can be 10 out of 10. Every video can be 10. And you get shadow banned and put on the back discount rack. That's what happens.
I didn't expect this one to do super well, basically because it was really hard to figure out how do you pitch that, you know, in an interesting way. Mm-hmm. We tried a couple of things and it just whatever. But I think the comments told me that people really liked the failure and, okay, well, let's pivot and do this thing again. They liked that aspect of it. And it was fun to do. So whatever, moving on past that one. But I started working on the next one and it's been kind of slow going because it's a lot of material. It's a new material and a lot of exploration with adhesives and material and stuff. So I don't want to give it away because I think it's going to be really funny. But I am working on that one, but I haven't made a whole lot of progress on it. And so that's making me feel like, what have I done with the last week? Which is kind of weird. I mean, it's a busy time in life. You know, it's like, my kids, we got back from vacation and then all my kids like soccer and band stuff is starting. So now everybody has like multiple practices a day and I'm driving people to this thing and that thing. So a lot of my time is going to that. So I guess it's just been busy, but not terribly productive the last couple of weeks. I've also been kayaking. Did I tell you guys I got a kayak? Yeah, I got a kayak for my birthday.
Oh, that's cool.
And there's a lake in our town, and then there's like some rivers pretty close. I haven't been to the rivers yet, but I've taken it to the lake a few times and just gone out and paddled for a while. And it's super nice. It's really, really nice just to go out and not have like, it's not really a workout, you know? It doesn't feel like I'm, the end goal of it is like to come back exhausted or anything. It's just really nice to go out and be out on the water. So
we've done that. That must be very peaceful.
It is. It's
a solo trip too, right?
Well, it has been, but we also have some inflatable paddle boards. And so a couple times we've pumped one of those up and Jenny and I took them both and went to the water. And so she paddleboarded and I kayaked, and it was like, we did that yesterday morning for a little while, just went out on the water. And that was, nice. It was super cool. Yeah. Way more relaxing than I expected it to be. And I've been way more okay with not getting anything done during that time than I thought I would be. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I kind of assumed I would be floating and just kind of itching to get back and get started on something, but I was just, a couple times was just floating and like, cool. I think I'll just stay here a little bit longer. It was nice. So, I don't know. I guess it's been a slower productivity week, which I think has been good. And it'll probably be that way for me for a little bit until the kids get back in school and the schedule kind of, you know, like lines up again. I'm also still in the process of, I've got a lot of stuff still to move around. Like I redid the shop a month or whatever ago. I don't even know how long that's been. And then did the clean room, which I'm totally loving having all of that stuff in that room. I moved my big format, my 36 inch printer in there. And so it's really feeling like I've got, like it's dedicated, you know, to a certain type of work, which is really cool. But then outside of those two spaces, all of the stuff that I had to move to get out of the way to make those two spaces is still kind of stacked up in the other side of my basement. And so it's, you know, like between that work, pushing things in one direction, I did all the basement renovation, which pushed a lot of stuff back into my office. And then the garage down there, I'm cleaning up the garage so the kids can get their bikes easier. And, you know, I'm taking all of the stuff and I'm like compressing it and pushing it back, and I'm beginning to run out of places to push things. And so now I'm at a point where I've got a corner, not a corner, but a big section of the basement that is gonna just take some brute force to like throw away, reorganize, build some shelves, and just, you know, that stuff is also kind of hard to justify time on when it's like not video worthy. It's not really that interesting. It's just like work to do, you know? So I'm finding myself at that point where pretty soon I'm going to have to spend a few days just doing manual labor to make some room for things. So, but yeah, that's kind of what I've been doing. I did get a new toy the other day. And I was curious if you guys have used... I got the X4 Insta 360. It's a 360 camera. Do you guys have this one?
I have the three.
Like it?
But I have the X4.
Okay, so what do you do with this? How have you used this in
I have
your
not used
workflow?
I've
How long have you had it?
I think about 30 days. About a month.
Okay, all right.
I have the other one. I had the two, then I have the three now, which I love. It's fun... The only problem with it is when you do post-production, it's hard to make the post-production not look like it came through their app. When you see other people doing motorcycle videos with it and that type of stuff, there's always this like weird, it's almost like this weird computer, like when you like move through space. I'm sure if you get good at it, you could disguise those camera moves.
Like, you mean when you're changing the angle, the viewing angle of the foot? Is that what you're
saying? Yeah. I think it's just a matter of putting your keyframes close together. Because, like, if you put a keyframe here and then it goes like this, it slowly goes. Versus if you put your keyframes close together, they go from here to here. That'll seem more like a human on the camera versus this, like, computer. It's almost like you're, like, looking through a security camera, and the security camera is being pivoted by a joystick.
And so you control that camera angle of that footage in their software?
Yep.
Not in...
You haven't gotten in there yet, then?
No, I haven't. Yeah, I mean, I got it 2 days ago.
So when you go through the globe, if you're going through the footage of the globe, which I say the globe because it's... You could choose anywhere in that globe, or any zoom in or any zoom out. You could do tiny Earth, which is the furthest zoom out when you get the little marble that you're on. If you're on a bicycle or walking, you get a little marble. That's called tiny Earth. But you could zoom in, and then you keyframe it. And that's exactly where it'll be. And then if you go down the timeline, you could be anywhere else in the globe, keyframe it, and it'll go from that keyframe to that keyframe as fast or as slow as you want, depending upon how far apart you put those keyframes. And if it's 1 second later and it's much different angle, it'll go quick. If it's 10 seconds later and it's a different angle, it'll take 10 seconds for that transition, which is a tremendously long time in that environment. But I think it's a great camera to use when I'm doing like a quick walkthrough on something. Or if the action's happening everywhere. It's fun to do with friends and then sit down at dinner and make a video, and then they go, oh my God, that's so cool. Share that with me. But to do a practical application, I think the most practical application is either kayaking, for instance, or ride. It's really action sports where you're trying to get everything, and you're trying to get, like, you see really, really good clips with those things on motorcycles or drag racers, or where it's just capturing all the action. And if there's something where they could immediately, you see a lot of guys on motorcycles with them, and then the camera pivots to the cop behind them, and then it pivots back to him, it's fun for that type of stuff. I did use it a little bit. I'm trying to think. I used it when I made my big Starrett toolbox. I used it. I did a big globe view of the workshop while I was working there, remember? That was when I first got the first one.
I shot some stuff with it yesterday, and I'm working this thing that I'm working on now. There's a big pattern, and it's like a 6-foot-long paper pattern that I've got laid on the table, and so I'm cutting that pattern out of material below it. So I tried to put the camera in the center of that because I was working all the way around it. So... Mm-hmm. I don't know. I haven't looked at the footage yet, but I was going to see if it would make sense in that case where it becomes like the camera view is the center of the workpiece, and I'm working all the way around the workpiece, and I can have the camera follow me as I go around. Mm-hmm. But no, I haven't looked at it, and I haven't actually brought any of that stuff in. I remember at one point you could do 360 video in Final Cut, and you could actually do all of those keyframing and like the jump around stuff.
Right.
In Final Cut, in a flat view. Do you know if that's still the case, David?
There is a 360 plugin for Final Cut that I had one of their previous versions. So it's a few years old now. And my experience with the Final Cut plugin was not good at that particular time. It's probably much better now. But I will say the app is really easy to use. The app is great for setting keyframes and doing that follow, or just selecting a subject and it'll follow that subject. So, it's one of those rare cases where it's sometimes it's just easier on the app than on the computer. But it has probably changed since the last time I've done that.
Yeah, I tried jumping from the app to the computer. It's a bit clunky. It's easier to work on the app, believe it or not.
Yeah.
But it's annoying because you're working on your phone.
Yes. We edit in Resolve now. We used to do Final Cut, so I haven't, and I barely know Resolve. I say we; it's really not me. But so I'm curious what it'll like, how you'll handle the 360 footage in Resolve. But anyway, so that's the newest thing I've got to kind of play with, and I'm trying to figure out how to work it in. I really got it mostly for working on car stuff, because to me it seems like a really good. If you're working in an engine bay or underneath a car, you can just like put it in a spot and then work in the area, and then you'll have potential, different shots and stuff. Mm-hmm. So
a couple things just to be conscious of. If for instance, if I'm riding in my side by side on my quad and I have it directly over my head, I'll never get an image of my face. Not that I care, but these are some things to consider. Wherever that globe is, imagine all the radials from a globe. And if the radial never touches my face or my eyes, you're never going to see my eyes or my face. So sometimes people just hold it in the air and they're like, I can choose any angle I want. Yeah, any angle from that pivot.
Yeah.
Not any angle. You can't literally move that ball in space. So if you're driving with people and you're having a conversation, make sure the camera's somewhat forward of your face, at least a little bit. or if you're riding a bicycle. It's just going to be you from the top of your head and your shoulders and your feet, which may be okay if that's what you're looking for. But if you want more of a practical camera shot, you might want to put the camera forward of you. So that's just something to consider. Whatever your subject is, make sure that you can see the face, so to speak.
Yeah. Yeah, it makes sense. Well, so that's the new thing I have that I have yet to try out. We don't have a topic.
I have a little bit of an idea, but what were you going to say?
Oh, do you?
Yeah, I have an idea, but tell me what you were going to say.
Well, I was going to say is I was going to ask if there was anything that like you've come across this last week in the shop or I guess just in life that has been unexpected. Because I'm finding these days like, you know, it was unexpected to me that I enjoyed kayaking as much as I
lately.
You know what I mean? And some unexpected stuff like getting hit by a car at a go-kart thing is not a good unexpected. But have you we settle into a lot of stuff. Yeah. And I love being
surprised,
finding things that are unexpected.
Yeah.
I'm enjoying that a lot about life these days.
Yeah. Has
anything like that come up for you guys lately in the shop or out of the shop?
Well, I must say the one thing that I know about life, including watching one of your friends get hit by a car, is the one thing that is constant is that things are always going to be changing. You can get settled into a certain pattern, but something's going to change. A tree's going to fall on your property, which happened here 2 years ago. A giant tree fell and crushed the tailgate of my friend's truck. Anything could happen, and you just got to be conscious and okay and let it flow. A lot of people get ridged up. They don't want things to change, but anything could happen. And that is really what keeps me coming back for more, is anything could happen. And you really hope it's positive things as much as possible. You try and draw in the positive things, like a TV commercial getting shot in my backyard in the next 3 days. You know, fun stuff like that where you can learn from and have an interesting experience. That was just a phone call and a like, hey, do you know anybody with a wood shop? And I'm like, I have one. Oh, cool. And now all of a sudden, there's this major commercial being shot in my backyard, which is going to be fun. It's going to be a learning experience. That's the one thing about life, is that things are going to change no matter what. People are going to come and go. Relationships are going to dissolve. Relationships are going to develop. And I find the people that have a hard time with all that change are the ones that have a hard time in general. I'm not saying that I want relationships to dissolve. I mean, obviously, I went through some serious relationship changes, and Bob, so did you at work. And you know, the constant thing is things are going to change, and just being able to be loose enough to take those changes and roll with them and make the best decisions if they're bad decisions, or just make the best decisions if they're good decisions, or good changes or bad changes. Just being loose enough to see it coming, welcome it, that kind of thing.
That was nice, but you didn't answer my question.
Uh-oh, you're a lawyer. What is it? What's the question? Did anything happen?
No, the question is, like, has anything unexpected happened to you? I mean, you know, I know the accident thing at the
go-kart. No, and then the commercial, you know, this commercial that just showed up on a phone call.
Yeah,
that's what I was. That was my answer, basically.
Okay. Yeah, but you did have a good answer then, my bad.
Yeah, that type of thing, or... you know, the other day, I don't know if I saw this on the podcast, Ken is my stonemason, and if you're watching the series, you recognize he's the hippie with the beard who's doing my stonework. And Ken doesn't have a cell phone, so anytime he needs to talk to me, if I'm not in his proximity, he hops in his little Toyota and drives over to my house and waddles up the driveway. And I say, oh, Ken's got something to tell me. And he goes, I don't want you to be upset.
Oh, yeah, he did this.
But then the big window in the foundation. So stuff like that, you know, that was unexpected, but it's okay. It's just for the better. Yeah. It's just for the long-term growth and strength of the house. I'm okay with that. But we didn't plan on replacing 18 feet of foundation wall, you know, up to 3 feet. But whatever, you know, it's not going to kill me. Through all of it, it's the most important thing is your health. People say it all the time, you know, money comes and goes, wealth comes and goes. But if you get hit by a car and you fracture your pelvis and you can't walk properly again for the rest of your life, like, those are the most important thing is your health. And, you know, those are the things where you really got to, I don't want to say get upset about, but those are the things that are really important to be wary of versus any other change. People coming and going and this and that, you know, you're trying your best to just maintain relationships in a positive manner, whether they're, you know, coming and going from your life completely or whatever it is. But health is really the utmost importance, making sure that you keep a healthy skeleton and a healthy flesh, really, and brain.
David, you were starting to say something, and I interrupt you.
I've got a couple of one in the shop, one outside the shop, and I live in my own little bubble, and so I mean, I think I'm at times kind of very self-centered. And when I made the urn video, I was like, yeah, people will connect with this. People have pets. People will be like, oh, wiener dogs are cute, right? What I wasn't expecting was the amount of stories of people losing their pets or people like there was so I tried to not make my emotions come out through the video because I didn't want it to be a sad video, but reading the comments was like incredibly sad, and sad almost in a good way because it made me really grateful for what I have. But the thing that I wasn't expecting is people, all the people going through the loss of a pet, either right now or about to, or just recently, that was crazily unexpected. And it's a good reminder that when you meet somebody and you judge them for their actions, is they're probably going through a lot more than what you will ever know. And it could be as something as they're losing their pet. There are, you know, a family member got hurt, or they're going through hard times financially or whatever. It's to let things go and just try not to judge people so fast.
Yeah, there's a quote, and I can't remember exactly what it is, but it's something about everybody we meet is fighting a battle we can't see, or something. You know that quote? I don't even know who said it, but yeah, that's a good point.
And so the other thing that wasn't expected outside the shop is in a few days, we're going to go on a little mini vacation. And this just happened. We wanted to for like a little weekend getaway. And then there wasn't anything available. And then something just popped up the other day. So we snatched up this place and we're just going to go away. We're taking the dogs and then we're going to just enjoy ourselves for a couple of days. And we went on a little mini weekend vacation last year, and for whatever reason, it was the most satisfying, relaxing vacation I've ever been on, because I cleared out my schedule. I got everything caught up and we could go away, and it wasn't that much of an agenda, and I could just enjoy the moment. And so I'm going to try to recreate that experience again this time. I'm going to catch up on everything. I'm not going to think about designing, creating, answering questions. I'm just going to try to enjoy the moment.
That's awesome. That catching up on everything ahead of time, is that like an absolutely necessary step for you to be able to enjoy that time?
Yes. Yeah, 100%. And there's not that much to catch up on. I just have to make sure that I have the next scheduled video done and to the sponsor for review. I got to make sure my emails are caught up and all shipments are out, and I should be good to go. So it's not going to be very stressful.
Yeah.
It's just another little deadline that I got to deal with. But yeah, I mentally have to have everything done to really enjoy the moment. That's one of my struggles. That's one of my many struggles.
Yeah, I agree with that. I feel that way too. I make sure everything's done before I relax.
Yeah. Well, Jimmy, you said you had a little idea as well for...
Well, we were joking just as we started, overthinking a project, overthinking. And in my video this weekend, I was doing my voiceover, and I came through, I expressed the concept that I have to constantly remind myself. And that is, as an artist, when we're sitting there trying to decide which is the best way to make or choose or do something, whatever it is, whether it's the color of the leather, whether it's this type of 3D print, or which is, we're going to put this node on my object, whether it's there or not. And we always think of the end viewer, or the end person who's going to experience this art, whatever it is, if it's an object that it gets interacted with, or whether it's something that people just look at. As artists, we sit there and we decide what is the best choice. And we go through all these choices, and we might have a choice that is practically the best choice, but aesthetically we don't like it. Practically it's the best choice, but we would rather have done it this way, but financially we get stuck on that. And then that choice you make in that object, you overthink it, and the entire time it stinks for you. Even though you've done it, you put the object out, you look at it and you go, this is great, except for that one stinky part. But nobody knows. You're still overthinking it. You might even show somebody. You might go, look at my new thing. This is the part I really had a hard time with. But, you know, this is the crummy way I did it. But you don't have to say that. Nobody knows your decision process.
Yeah.
So when we get stuck in this overthinking loop, and then it comes out when we show the finished product to somebody, and we're like, oh, this is great. I really didn't want to choose this color, but you know, this is the best color I had. It's a sponsor. Blah, blah, blah. Just show it and say, I did this. Whatever it is, if you want some accolades, whatever you want, just say, I finished this project. You don't have to carry the stink through all the time. The stink doesn't have to always be like the trail of Pepe Le Pew following that object, that stink decision process. I'm guilty of it, and that's why I'm so conscious of it.
I had a conversation about this in a different way a couple of days ago, and the conversation was about saying those things. Jenny does, my wife does this constantly, and that's not who I had the conversation with, but she'll like make this amazing meal and be like, and we're all eating it and we're just like scarfing it down, this is so good, and she's like, yeah, but it didn't have the whatever in it that I didn't have, you know, I'm like, who, you know, she does it all the time. But this conversation was about I don't even know how to say it. It was about like wanting people to be pleased with the thing, and so you kind of curb their reaction with the reality. So like you're saying that like, I know you're not going to be completely satisfied with this because I had to do this as a, you know, and it's almost like you're kind of covering your own butt a little bit by exposing, this is why it's not going to meet your expectations. When it's really, like you're saying, it's not about them. It's not about the consumer. It's really about you being less than confident about your own ability or your own, whatever you put into it. Or, and that is a super weird but natural thing to try to defend your own, I don't know, your feelings from their response or something that you know is coming. And, you know, I'm absolutely guilty of this with comments. Like, I will overstate failure and why I had to do something and what I was thinking about because I know that it, well, I feel like it's going to come up in the comments and I'm just trying to get ahead of it and trying to, like,
nobody, but over, for the most under, part, nobody knows.
Pre-explain it.
If someone's going to be a nutnik and they're going to pick on it, let them go pick on their own thing. Those are the people that don't do anything because they're so busy nitpicking their own work. It gets back to the perfection thing too. Go ahead.
I constantly find myself giving the person an out before I even say what I'm going to say. Like, you can say no. Or this isn't your thing, but, and, I guess I'm just realizing that I do that all the time, but I'm always giving somebody the out or to say they don't like something, giving them permission. Do I need to do that? Am I overthinking it?
I think so.
Yeah.
But I think we all do that in some different ways. I mean, I talked about this last week about how, you know, I'm realizing about myself that I think about things in a certain way and I overcompensate for them, for other people's feeling of stability and that type of stuff. And we like voice the things that we're going to say with a certain little voicing based on our own stuff. We don't want to disappoint people. We don't want people to feel obligated. We don't, you know, want people to have a negative reaction if they don't have to. And so we add these caveats or we like don't say all the things or we say way too many things. And, you know, we all do that. I wish that I could get to a point. And I have no idea how to do this, but I wish I could get to a point to where I was confident enough in myself to be able to just like let it be. This is what you get, you know? Like, I don't have to over-explain everything that I think, even though I'm going to overthink things, and that's fine. That's just the way my brain works. But I don't have to over-explain everything I think, and I don't have to care so much about it being some terribly negative experience for the people who are consuming or the people that are in my house, or you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I wish I could. I feel like that's a lack of confidence on my part, and I don't really know that, but I also don't know how to build that wall up and build that thing and be okay with, you know, I don't know how to do
that. I've presented enough work to clients in my life where I had to train myself to keep my mouth shut. Where I put it out there and I go, ta-da. And they go, wow, this is cool. What color paint did you do? What is it? How'd you make this connection? How'd you do that? Oh, this is beautiful hinge. And if they ask me a specific question, I answer it. The whole time I'm like, I'm sorry, there's like a soft edge there, and I sanded through the veneer over here, and that's actually not grain, that's actually pencil, but I covered it with polyurethane, so it looks like great grain. It's not...
But it's so hard to do, because you spent 40-some, 50 hours making this thing.
I'm saying. It's an exercise, and it's almost like a Zen-like exercise, is to put something in front of somebody and keep your mouth shut. Just say thank you.
As soon as you said that, my heart went. But I'm a faker. They're gonna know that I'm. They're gonna think that I'm completely, completely authoritative about this thing. Here it is. Check this out. This is done.
Yeah.
And I'm not gonna say anything because I am totally confident that this is the best.
Try it. I'm telling you both.
That's like, ugh. That sounds terrible to me.
Try it. The worst is like when I pack up. As a matter of example. I packed up this summer. I did some nice work for the guys over at Bullet. I did the Johnny Walker cart, and I did the stained glass, which, by the way, I'm going to make a full video on the stained glass because they just ordered a few more. That I was just experimenting, so I was picking up little clips here and there. I never really made a full beginning-to-end video, so now I have an opportunity to do that, the stained glass Bullet bottles. And I wrap them up in stretch wrap, put them in a wooden box, and send it. And I don't know what's going to happen until months later or weeks later, and then... Out of nowhere, the other day, Chuck and his crew, the guys I make this stuff for, sent me a message. He's like, those bottles look amazing. We need 5 more. I was like, great. That's all he has to say, and I know that they like them. I'm like, but what did you think about when all the resin dripped on the bronze part? Did that bother you? What about the three things I see in a picture that don't have resin in them, which drives me bananas because they're bright white? What about that? Does that bother you too? What about the fact that I made one light box one way and another light box a different way, but they don't look exactly the same? Does that bother you? I don't have to say anything.
I think one of the big things that separates YouTubers from movie makers is when you watch a movie, there are gaps. You don't have to see how this person got from this room to this room. You don't have to show them walking through the door. You could just cut to that. And we have to, like, I have to tell myself, like, my audience is smart enough to understand that they don't need to see the glue being applied to the thing. They could just see the piece in the clamps, me tightening the clamp, and that they can fill the gaps themselves. They're smart enough to do that. And I think we overthink what we're doing because we're trying to show the process that, man, the viewer can fill in those gaps. They're pretty smart.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's
most of them.
Say there's only one way to get
people that listen to this show are.
Yeah. There's only one way to get to where you gotten to. So we all know.
Yeah. So let me jump back just a second. You were talking about the here it is. That thing. Like I said, my response to that was immediately like the opposite. No, but I have to like qualify and I have to whatever. And then as I was thinking a little bit further about that, I think that I, and maybe all of us, tend to think that we, hang on, how do I say this? I don't want to be the person that is so confident in the thing that I made that I look like I think I'm infallible. You know what I mean? I don't want to be the person that be like, to show a thing that I made and then say, you know, this candle I made out of crayons is the best possible candle that's ever made out of crayons, and I did it the right way, and there's no other right way. That is one ridiculous extreme to be. And so
that's overthinking.
That's way overthinking and overqualifying and over everythinging to be that way. To be the opposite, which is more my natural state, is to be like, I'm going to underqualify everything and I'm going to explain away all of my mistakes to just make sure that you know that I'm being as truthful as I can possibly be. Mm-hmm. But that thing in between, that spot in the middle, is what you're saying. Here it is. Yeah. And that's not being overly confident. That's not being like arrogant about it. It's just, it's being neutral. And it's actually such a better way to be than either one of those other two extremes. Yeah. But it's halfway. it's not the overconfident extreme. It's halfway there. But it's neutral. Mm-hmm. And like, I had never really thought about there being 3 points along that line. It feels like 2 points in my mind. If I'm not apologizing for it, then I'm being overconfident.
Right.
You know what I mean? Right. There's no neutral place there. But that's actually a really good thing to think about, is that you can have a neutral response to something. And for me, I have to stop assuming that everybody thinks my neutral response means I'm confident. Right.
But you can be confident.
Or overconfident.
Yeah. You can be overconfident. That's okay.
You can be. That's just not my personality to be that way. And some people are, and sure, but that's not me, you know. So I learned something from this. Thank you, Jimmy.
Okay.
That's good. Therapy, yet again. All right, well, any other thoughts on a little micro topic? Anybody, David, do you have a micro topic for today?
A micro topic.
Just to put you
I think
on
I'm
spot.
Overthinking the overthinking thing.
Yeah.
Because the last thing that came to my head was most of the things we consume that are creative based or art based, whether it's listening to music, watching a concert, playing a video game, going to a movie, we don't know all the effort that went into that. It's just presented to us and we're just taking it in. There's no the creators are not there saying, you wouldn't believe how many hours we put in to make this scene or to make these props for this particular concert or whatever. It's just given to you and you're allowed to just judge it on your own. And people like us with a social media and a podcast, and we edit our own videos, it's just like we try to justify all the things that we do all the time because we have the opportunity to justify all the things we do all the time.
Right.
So I am giving myself permission to just use the tools that I have, make the things that I want to make, and that's it. You can judge it. You can not watch it if you don't want to, or watch it if you do.
Let the thing speak for itself rather than us speaking for the thing.
Yeah.
I envision, Bob, if you did a video, it would be a funny meme. I guess anybody could do it, and there's probably memes out there like it. But you made a beautiful object, but you put little tiny post-it arrows all over it saying, this is the wrong color. I should have done this. I should have done that. I don't really like the setting. You know, even if it's a flat image, and then you just put all these post-its all over the image saying, I really should have done that. I mean, that's an interesting meme.
But that whole thing is the art.
Yeah.
Like, the post-it notes are part of the art. That's pretty nice.
But, ooh, I like this.
Oh, by the way, that reminds me. Remind me to ask you about... I'll tell you guys as we get to the... At the end, I'll tell you. I got to write it down, so I don't forget. Yeah.
Okay. Well, we probably are at the end. I don't know if... Do you have any other... Did you have a micro topic? Anything else been going on with you, David, that...
No, I mean, a lot of the things that you say about just getting away from work and enjoying the kayaking is, I think it's really important for everybody, but I am looking forward to getting away in a few days and just trying to enjoy the moment. I also think getting away from everything that we do is beneficial to us, so when we come back to it, we're re-energized. And also, so we went to a movie last night, and we saw A Quiet Place. And when you go to a movie, this is my little micro thing. When you go to a movie, you don't have a computer in front of you. You're not looking at your phone, or at least you're not supposed to. And you're just supposed to focus on this thing. And so when I didn't have a screen, a digital screen in front of me, I started coming up with all of these creative ideas for wood art while I'm watching the freaking movie. And really? I think it was because I wasn't occupied with
your mind was
device.
Free.
Yeah. even though there's a, you know, a big 30-foot screen in front of me with a movie playing, I was still coming up with these ideas. And it was another reminder that I don't always have to look at my phone or my computer. But it was a weird time for me to come up with ideas.
Did you keep those ideas? I mean, like, you couldn't write them down in the moment.
I didn't. I know what they are. Yeah. I still haven't written them down, even though I probably would have forgot about them until I just brought this up. So I should write them down.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
I commit them to just one or two words, even if I have to write them on my palm. Because that one word
will
make the memory come back.
You just need that trigger.
Yeah.
So I woke up at like 3 o'clock this morning. This has happened a couple of times this week. Woke up at 3 o'clock and just could not go back to sleep for like an hour and a half. And I couldn't go back to sleep just because I was restless. Nothing in particular. But the longer I laid there, the more I started thinking about things, which then was like this, well, now I'm thinking about stuff. And so I can't go back to sleep now, you know. And I started building this list of, like I was saying at the beginning, all the things that I need to move this so that I can move this, and I need to throw this away so there's a spot for me to move this. And I started building this like little chain of events in my head of, I really got to find time to just do this stuff. And it's, we've talked about this many times, but it's one of, I found when I finally got to sleep and then got woken up again at like 5, I found that that chain of events is like a weight that just sets there. There's this like in my head, it's a thing that I know I shouldn't forget because it's stuff I have to do and it's all this one after another list. And I should have just gotten up and written it down to say, now it is recorded. It doesn't have to be in my head anymore. And now I can probably go to sleep. But I think my brain was still like trying to hold it. And like, if you go to sleep, then you're going to forget the chain of events. There's no way you'll be able to come up with that list again, you know, whatever. But that kind of like mental weight of, there's another word for it, and I can't think of what it is, but like a to-do list that isn't unwritten down. It was stopping me from sleeping last night.
Just you saying that is giving me a little bit of anxiety, because when those things snowball in your head when you should be sleeping, and you're,
it's very frustrating. It's been twice this week I've had that same scenario, just... And it's not, like, important stuff. It's not stuff that... It's, like, moving boxes and, you know, from one place to another. It's, like... But... And I even thought, I guess I could get up and do it right now. If I'm not sleeping, I could go downstairs and just start moving stuff. But then, like, all of the kids, the dogs, everybody would be awake, you know? So it was a little bit... it was one of those moments, but... Anyway... So
I'll tell you.
You guys,
I was
going
to tell you what I remember. I just got all my details in order. So Mason was a gentleman that came to the go-kart track last year. And just a funny little story. I bought a go-kart a year ago on Facebook Market. Rob might have picked it up for me. And it was all dismantled. It was a lot more work than I had the time for. So it just sat on the corner of the track. And when Mason was there a year ago, he saw it and he was looking at it. And like, and I, as I recall, it was a moment's notice where like kind of got quiet at the end of the day. And he's just sitting there staring at it, holding his chin. And I was like, you like that, don't you? And we all kind of laughed. I'm like, it's yours. Take it home. I said, on the one condition, you have to bring it back next year fixed. And I didn't hear. And he took it. And we all cheered him on when he drove away with it. And he happened to have a trailer with him. And because he brought something. But he took that away with him. And he I didn't hear from him all year. And we were having dinner the night before, I think who was around, Bernie and Derek and everybody was around, and we're like, did that kid Mason ever make his thing? I don't know. I haven't heard from him. And while we were at dinner, he texted me a picture of it on the trailer, getting ready for the next day. And he repainted it. He went and bought parts. He's obviously doesn't have a lot of experience with it, but he pushed himself, and it was so incredible to see. And he showed up and it wasn't working quite yet. And he didn't have the chain hooked up and the clutch wasn't quite connected right. And he stood there. He sat there all day long fiddling with it and got it. And he made two laps around the track. His chain was skipping or the clutch wasn't put on properly. But he made 2 laps around the track. And it was so heartwarming. It was incredible. So, Mason, thank you. And I filmed all this, so I'll make a little documentary about all of this. But at the end of the day, he walked up and handed me a pack of stickers. And it's a pack of stickers of Nixon on a horse. And... there you go. And so there's that. I go, wow, that's a deep cut. No one's going to know what that is.
Oh, man.
So I have about a 3/4 inch pack of stickers of Nixon on a horse. I'll send you guys each some. Yeah, and it's the one that that's the one, Dave, that you whipped up right away.
Oh man,
that's so there great. You go.
Thanks, Mason.
That's great.
And that's it. Hmm.
Cool. That's a good place to end it. All right. Well, I'm going to thank our Patreon supporters, and you guys can find something to recommend.
I got something.
Big thanks big thanks to everybody over at Patreon for supporting the show, because it gives us time to get together and talk about stuff, even if we actually don't have anything to talk about. See today's episode. So, but yeah, seriously, thank you all for the support. It does mean a lot, and we're very grateful for everybody over there at every level. All of it helps. All of it makes this possible. But the top supporters, people that go above and beyond, are Nick Ryan, Corey Ward, Albers Woodworks, Works by Solo, Chad from Maincrafting, Chad's Custom Creations, Rich at Low End Design, Odin Leathergood, Sean Beckner, Scott at Dad It Yourself DIY, Jeff at the New Janky Workshop, Warren Works, Michael Manigin, and Crabtree Creative. But also people like Samuel Gable. I almost said Samuel Gamble, which would be a really cool name, but it's Samuel Gable. Also a really cool name, Samuel. Don't mean to diss on your name. If you guys want the after show, which is a separate podcast of other stuff after this show, then you go to patreon.com/makingit, sign up at any level. Everybody gets the after show. If you want to. We would appreciate it. Mm. What you got, Jimmy?
The lawyer, you know. I've been really digging deep into the Alec Baldwin case and the Karen Reed case and these lawyer cases that are going on, these legal cases that have been going on. And the lawyer you know is Peter Tragos. He's a lawyer in Florida, and he does live streams where he's discussing exactly what's going on. And his father is also a very experienced lawyer, so sometimes his dad's on the live stream. So if you're into legal stuff, or if you're thinking about being a lawyer, if you just want to be a armchair lawyer like me, watch this stuff. And then there's also Emily D. Baker, who's great. They're both in the same category. Emily D. Baker and the lawyer you know, those are the two channels. And they do live streams along with live streams of pending ongoing court cases. Some pretty interesting stuff for me.
I had to find a joke for my son this morning for a camp that he's going to, and it's a lawyer joke, and I think it's really funny. Why did the lawyer show up to court in his underwear?
Why?
Because he forgot his lawsuit. I don't know. That's funny. Anyway, David, what do you have?
Remind me, I have a funny lawyer joke I'll say in the end of the show. It's a little...
Okay. I don't know.
Great. I have a really good one. Bob, I think you're going to like this video if you haven't seen it. It's a guy named Matthew Encina, and he has a video called How I Turned My Idea Into a Product. And he makes a mechanical keyboard for your computer to type. And it's so well done. It's the process of the entire journey. It's shot amazingly. It's just really good. This was how I was introduced to his channel, just through this video. And it's one of my new favorite YouTube channels, because all of his videos are just beautiful. Awesome. And just great.
I feel like I heard about this video somewhere, not from you, but from somewhere. So yeah, awesome. I'm looking forward to checking that out.
Yeah,
cool. Well, mine is one I was not expecting. Rob Scallon put out a video, our buddy Rob plays guitar, put out a video about he's been struggling with bipolar 1 for a while, and I knew that over this last year or so, he had had some health stuff, but he kept it really vague when he talked about it and everything. So he put out this video. It's like 28 minutes long, and it's him talking about... He's on the other side of it now. It was a side effect from some medicine that he was dealing with that gave him like this mania, like super highs for a little while and then super lows. And so he's on the other side of that. He's stabilized a lot, so he's able to talk about it, you know, outside of it. And it was really, it was like, I don't know, it was encouraging to watch somebody be able to talk about something that was really, really hard for them and the people around them. And to be able to talk through it kind of after the fact, like, I felt this way and I don't understand how I didn't realize that this was happening and stuff. It's also, you know, it's a bummer to see somebody that you know and care about go through something and not have known it throughout the year. I don't know what support I could have been in the meantime, but I like hate to find out about it after the fact, you know. But either way, it was really, it was an interesting video to watch, and I'm glad to see him on the other side of like knowing how to handle it now and knowing what's going on. But even if it's not something you deal with, it might be worth, I think it absolutely is worth anybody watching it to be able to identify the behaviors in somebody else who may not realize that they're in the middle of it. So I would recommend everybody watch this just so you can kind of get acquainted with what somebody else might be going through, because it was surprising to me. So
it was very educational for me. I had no idea that this is what you go through, and it's a year-long process, and there's extreme highs and extreme lows. It was eye-opening.
Yeah, I agree. The other one, real quick, just we've talked about, and it's right above in my history. We've talked about Bo Miles before, like the Australian guy that's like with the big beard and he does all sorts of crazy stuff and everything. He did a video with Jack Conte where Jack interviewed him for his Digital Spaghetti thing, which I haven't watched that interview yet. I guess it's out. I don't know. But he and Jack went paragliding together. I guess that's what it's called. And so it's just about him learning to paraglide in an afternoon with Jack Conte. It's like a pretty cool video. Just I like his videos. I like his personality. But wow. Yeah, go check that one out. You guys got anything else?
I'll never paraglide. That's it. That's all I have.
Yeah, me. I probably won't either. All right, cool. Well, thanks for listening, everybody. And catch you next time.